waiting on him going on a little farther. He was dancing all around it there. Oh, man. Like, well, Lord, go ahead and let him preach. And I'll just stay on the lower end of the platform tonight and just back the preacher. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone here tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that I am in the army of the Lord. How about you? Amen. I said, I'm glad that I'm in the army of the Lord. How about you? There we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. Does anybody know what today is? Sister Prepper's birthday. Amen. She's 26 years old. Amen. We're going to sing happy birthday to her before I get done, before I start preaching. Amen. Go ahead and stand up, Sister Pepper. If you can. I know it's hard at the ripe young age that you're in. Amen. Pastor, if you'll start us off. Birthday. And me and Sister Pepper, she is my mother-in-law. Amen. She loves me dearly. I'm her favorite son-in-law, for those of you that did not know that. I'll go ahead and make that known to all of you. So instead of giving her a gift, you can give it to me because I get to put up with her. Amen. As the favorite son-in-law. Amen. Some of y'all are laughing. So... Now, me and Sister Pepper don't agree on everything 100% the same. She eventually comes around to seeing it from my point of view. Yes, it's the wisdom finally catches up to her. No. Amen. I love Sister Pepper. Amen. She is a wonderful mother-in-law. Best mother-in-law I've ever had. I'm serious. She is a wonderful mother-in-law and pastor's wife. Amen. I want to honor her. Amen. For putting up with all of us to this point. Amen. So thankful for how the Lord's moved in the service so far tonight. Amen. I'm going to try and not hold us long. I was talking with Brother Robert on the way home and my wife on the speakerphone, and told her, I said, well, got several things I'd like to preach, so I don't know which one it's going to be. And Robert said, whichever one's the shortest. I'm going to go ahead and oust him right now. Amen. So that if this is long, it's your fault. Amen. I am thankful, though, for God's Word. I'm thankful for His presence. And if you've got your Bibles there handy, you turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Go ahead and get into the Word this evening. The Lord. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 20. If you have it, if you would stand. And if you don't have it, it can be found on the back wall or the front wall. So don't feel like you're left out. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 20, it says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and tell him, say, have you not learned anything yet? Go ahead and tell him that. Say, have you not learned anything yet? Go ahead, Tabitha. Go ahead and tell him. You've not learned anything yet. This is Paul speaking. Now, Paul is in a certain place. Does anybody want to guess where Paul's at while he's writing this letter? He's in prison. He's in jail. And he's writing a letter. You guys not learn, have you? But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him. And as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, here you are, pastors, on some of my notes, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We wonder so many times why it's so difficult to get past certain areas in our life. It's because we're not being renewed. We've been taught the truth. We've heard the word. But we want to try and still do it our own way. Let me tell you, as long as you're still conversing and utilizing the old man, the new man will never take hold. He will never grow stronger. You will have a hard time being victorious. All right, I know you're standing a long time, but it's okay. I get to stand the rest of the service. And put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, in this portion of Scripture, Paul is also talking about the body, how it is fitly put together, talking about unity, about the new man. We find here in verse number 26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Right there, Robert, that's the Scripture. I don't have to have patience. I can just stand on that portion right there in my driving. Amen. "And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." That's an inside joke, inside story that's all the time going on. Verse number 27, I want to take my text from this portion of Scripture. And it says, "Neither give place to the devil." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your house. I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint my mind. Lord, I pray that you'd anoint my lips to speak that which you've put in my heart. I pray you'd help it to be clear. I pray that you'd anoint these altars, God, as a place and prepare it for a position where an offering will be given to you, Lord, and it will be taken from this place for us to carry no more. And I pray that you'd help us to leave changed. In your name we pray. The church said, you can be seated. And we have to realize here in this section of Scripture where Paul is coming from. We could look up in the beginning portions of this chapter, and he talks about how he is therefore a prisoner. And we also can see that he said that there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. We find that he's wanting us to realize, I ain't got time to preach this whole chapter. I would like to tonight, but I'm not going to. Gonna condense it down a little bit. But he's wanting us to realize that there is a place that we can go to where there is no place for the devil to take hold or take root. There is a place that you can go where the devil cannot attack your mind. You say, well, how is that? Pastor was talking about, he was dancing all around it tonight, saying the only place the devil, if you are saved, the only place the devil can attack you is the mind. But I want to come to you tonight and tell you there is one step farther that you can do that he can try to tempt, but it have no effect on you if you do one thing. You say, what is that? I want you to know that if you are full of the Holy Ghost, then what you do is you turn on the no vacancy sign. Have you ever been traveling late at night? And they don't have a lot of motels, don't do this anymore, but I remember growing up and driving down there and trying to get Dad to pull over when he was evangelizing and doing different things. So, hey, went get a motel, you know, Dad, just drive on. Well, that place can't stop there, and you can't stop here, and you can't stop there. They had these signs that said, no vacancy. There is no room in the inn. This is kind of what Mary and Joseph was experiencing before Christ's birth. Everywhere they went, no room, no place for you. You know, the motels don't have a stall out back where you can park and stick up in the cave there if you need a place to rest for the night. They don't have that anymore. They don't have a place for us, Brother Robert. But we find if you want to stay somewhere, you have to do this one thing that's called calling ahead and making reservations. Because if you don't make a reservation nowadays, the chances of you getting a room is slim to none in a lot of places. Now, I'm going here in a week. I'm going to get to preaching here in just a second. Here next week, I'm going to be going up to Brother Jared's wedding, Jared Gans. And he texted me many times, says, make your reservation. I have these rooms blocked, but they're only blocked for so long. You better hurry. You better hurry. You better hurry. And I got in just the nick of time because they got full. So if your life is so full of God, there is no place. It says, neither give place to the devil. If your life is so full that when he tries to come and bombard you and try to attack your mind, that it just kind of rolls off your back or your mind like the water off the back of a duck. If you have been waterproofed, if you have begun to prove the gospel to such a point where everything that you do, everything that you say, the enemy realizes there is nowhere and no way that I can begin to attack at any angle against this individual because they are covered. It is time, church, that we turn on the no vacancy sign. We can find in Matthew chapter 12, Christ speaking to the disciples, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They were all around. He said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then he goeth, and he taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And who Christ was talking to at this point in time, he was talking to a host of people that belong to the local church. And let me tell you, church, that there are a lot of reasons that we come to church that's not the right reason. I'm going to just let that settle for just a second. A lot of times we come to church, but not for the right reasons. We come to church because we know that if I don't show up, I'm either going to get a text or a call from someone in the leadership of the church. I don't want them to know why I wasn't there, so I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to move why I wasn't going to be there to a different night. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Because we've left the no vacancy sign off, we've allowed other things to begin to fill our life. We come to church because we want to be seen. Or we come to church because we're trying to earn good merit in someone else's life. Let me tell you, the reason that we should come to church is not simply just because out of fear of someone calling us or out of simple fear of trying to please someone. We should only come to church for this purpose, and that is to give to God. Not for Him to give to us. We want to come and we want to be blessed by the power of the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you, you need to come bringing an offering to Him. We find in this section of Scripture I was reading, it was to a body, the church body there, and to the disciples. What this is saying is there is a point and a place that we can get to in our Christian life where we feel like we can do it in our own strength and our own power, and we can do it without Him. And what begins to happen is when we do that is we begin to make room for the enemy to fill our lives. And let me tell you, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. Amen. He's given us power and strength that comes from heaven. But in order for us to tap into all of that, we have to give Him all of ourselves. Let me tell you, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past we were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I once was lost, but now I'm found." Let me tell you, just getting saved doesn't mean the enemy's not going to attack you, because you have just cleaned the house. And if that house is not filled with something, it will come back. That enemy will come back, and he will take up residence, not just in your life, but in your children's life, and even your grandchildren. It could go from generation to generation. But let me tell you, we have a promise in God that we have an opportunity to be chosen, to be transformed from being someone that was lost in sin, that is now found in his mercy, that can now walk and become as his likeness. We can't just do it overnight by ourselves. We have to have help, and that help comes from the Holy Ghost. We find in the scripture that Jesus tells the disciples, "Those of you that are following me, there should be signs that follow. In my name they should cast out devils. They should speak with new tongues. They should take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover." You say, "Well, Brother Lucas, why don't we see these things? Why aren't we seeing these things confirmed?" It's because, Brother Jason, we've not turned on the no vacancy sign, and there's a lot of things that begin to fill our life. And when it comes time for us to pray, Titus, come here real quick, brother. When it comes time for us to pray for someone that has a need, we just say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, you know. Jesus, Jesus. Lord, you know. Lord, I know that you can do it. Lord, I know that you can make a difference." But nothing happens. Did you feel anything? Did you feel your need getting met? Because there's vacancy in my life. I know I'm preaching different than I have in a long time, but that's okay. Because what begins to happen, you're getting too tall. What begins to happen is we don't have power with Christ, because we're not walking in his fullness. And when we're not walking in his fullness, the no vacancy sign's turned on, because we're full of ourselves and not full of the power of God. And let me tell you, when you have the power of God and someone comes with the need, or you see the need and you grab a hold of them and you begin to proclaim and you begin to pray in the power that is within you, that is not of you, but comes down from the Father above, where there is no shadow of turning. He is the one that has the light. He has the life, and he has the power, but it's just up to us to be filled of him. We can look in Acts, and we like to quote the Acts out of Acts chapter 2, that they were all together in one room, in one mind, in one accord, and all of a sudden the place was shaken, and the Holy Ghost came in. And they spoke in other tongues, and there was as a fire that set upon each of them. And we look at what happened to them. They had prepared themselves. They had made sure their house was clean. They came with a purpose, and they said, "We're not leaving," because there was a promise that was given that said, "If you go and tarry, I will come. I will send that comforter." And we've got to begin to realize and wake up right now in these these last days and realize that we want to see God begin to do what we need Him to do in our lives, we've got to do our part. We've got to clean the house. We've got to allow Him to fill us. And we've got to turn on the sign that says, devil, you're not welcome. There's no room here. There's no place in my mind, because that which used to plague me is no longer a part of me. We used to have barrel burning services growing up. I can remember 15, 16 years old, they bringing out a 55-gallon drum. Josh and kids bringing hundreds of CDs, movies, magazines, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of stuff. Stuff they had spent hundreds, even thousands of dollars on. Putting it in that barrel. Saying, I'm going to get it out of my life. And we wonder why I can't get out of this vicious cycle of doing this right here. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. You know that I did wrong. And I thank you for your saving mercy. Amen. We go right back out. We pick up what we just asked Him to forgive us of. Come back and I just can't praise the Lord. Just can't get in. I just can't feel God anymore. So we go back to the altar. Lord, forgive me. You know what I did was wrong. And I know I told you I wouldn't pick it up again. But the problem is we're not bringing it to the altar with us. We're taking it and we're sticking it in our nightstand. Okay, good. Nobody else knows where it's at. And we come to church. And we go back, we dig in the nightstand, okay, nobody else is around. The no vacancy sign's not on. Because God's not infilled us, we just want His mercy. We just want His grace. But let me tell you, if you want to walk in His power, all that we have to do is to be filled with His Spirit. You say, how can I do that? It's simple. It's easy. Emptying out ourself. Saying, Lord, here am I. I am an offering. And I'm going to come to church, not because. Now grab a hold of this and don't fall out with me, please. I'm going to keep coming to church, not because, Lord, I'm only going to come because I want you to fill me. I'm going to come because I love you and I want to praise you. Because you died on Mount Calvary. You did that for the whole world. The whole world's not in the church thanking Him. But I'm going to come and I'm going to thank you. And I'm going to praise you. Because let me tell you what begins to happen. I've seen it happen. It's happened in my life. Is I found myself, Lord, I know you're really not moving, but I'm just going to go ahead and stand and praise you because of what you did in my life. How whenever I was 14 years old and I fell and a square bale, a large square bale, about 1,200 pounds, fell off the end of the tractor and almost smashed me. Ended up breaking the muffler of the tractor and almost crushing me. I thank you, God, that you spared my life at that point in time, God. And then all of a sudden, Lord, I thank you how you healed my sister when she fell out of a tree and broke her arm from about 12 foot. And we just began to pray, and your power came in that room, and the swelling disappeared. Lord, I'm just going to thank you, and I'm going to praise you how you healed my brother in his chest where it was all caved in and sunk in one night as we prayed, and there was a pop, and all of a sudden he was healed. Lord, I thank you how you spared my sister when she was just a baby, and they said she was going to die, and if she lived, she'd be a vegetable the rest of her life. I just want to thank you, Lord, that you spared her, and Lord, that you've given her a child and a husband and a place in the church. And all of a sudden, when I find myself, Brother Robert, just giving God thanks for what He's done, what I find is all the attacks of the the enemy has to leave, because there's no vacant, there's no vacancy sign for him. There's no room for him, because the only thing that's in my life that's leaving is praises to God. And why do we look at David when he began to come into the, amen, the city of Israel, and all of a sudden there, when he was walking down the streets and he began to dance and praise God in such a way? What is it that happened? The whole nation began to follow in with him, because they seen that the power and the presence of God mattered to him. Why was there miracles? They were there to help those out there come in. I want you to look in the empty seat next to you, if there's one. If there's not one, look past. Maybe the one in front of you. Let me tell you, that seat can be filled. But you have to do what they used to do. They tell somebody, hey, listen, I got saved. I used to drink, cuss, and I was just bad. And look where God's brought me from. They said, really? You? I'm going to have to come to church and see this. I'm just going to have to come and see it, because I don't believe it. And all of a sudden, they'd sit on the back pew. No, not pointing anybody that's on the back pew tonight. And they'd just be there as a spectator. What's going to happen? And all of a sudden, power of God start moving. And they'd come up to the front. And they'd get saved. A lot of them would leave with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you tonight, the power and the presence of God is available to us. But we have to let him fill us. Empty out ourself, place it on the altar, and praise God and say, you promised that it was a gift. And I'm not going to begrudge you, Lord, if I don't get the gift the first night. You know, there's a lot of gifts that Christ has given us. I just want to go down through a few of them here real quick. I'm fixing to close. And this is out of Ephesians chapter 4. As I was reading this, I got all excited. And I just want to go back and mention this to you guys. He that descended is the same also that he that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. I just love that part right there. He's filling all things, because he doesn't want our lives to be empty. But unto every one of us, see, verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's just a few of the gifts. We don't look as though, we look at those as positions and parts to play. But the thing is God gives us gifts. Say, well, I don't have any way I can teach. How many in here has children? Someone you have to care for. Now, that might be husband, might be your wife. Wife, it might be your husband. Otherwise, other way around. But we all have someone that we have an opportunity to be a light to. Whenever they see you at home, do they see anything of him? Or do they just see the old man that whenever he goes to go to church, I wish I had brought a suit coat, puts on a different outfit and says, well, honey, we're not going to fight on the way to church. See, we got to keep a good spirit. Roll into church, and as soon as we get back to the house, the coat goes back in the closet, and out comes the old man again. We have got to change, transform, and we've got to turn on the sign. I'm fixing to close. I want to just give you guys a little example of the fastest way to get the enemy out of your mind and to allow the Spirit of God to come in. Does the moment you walk into this place, the first thing that you need to find is a place to worship. You can worship in prayer. You know, we have supposed to have a prayer meeting before church. It's hard for some of us that's running really late. That was me tonight, and most nights. Come up here and we say, Lord, I need you to help, help, help. I want to give this church a challenge. Instead of coming and listing out all the things you need him to help you with, find you a place to worship. Bring me that flag, Tim. Find you a place to worship. And you say, well, that's not conventional. That's not normal. Exactly. You know how to confuse the enemy? Do something different. Witness to a coworker. Never done that before, all of a sudden. Say, well, I've never used Brother Tate's flag before, but I'm going to ask him if I can have a turn. I'm going to have a turn, Brother Tate. And be someone that's going to lead in worship. We'll say, well, that's the song leader's job, but it's your job to cheer them on. You say, well, I really don't feel anything. Well, if you don't feel anything, make them realize that you appreciate the sacrifice that they're doing. How's your voice feel, Sister Sarah? It's probably a little strained. I know mine is, just trying to keep up with you, or anybody for that matter. I can't hardly do it. My voice don't hold out. Lift up a banner. So, well, I just praise in the same place, and I know I'm going different, and you guys are all about ready to fall asleep. That's okay. Change your position. Don't pray in the same place tonight. Don't praise the same way come Sunday morning. It's time we turn on the no vacancy sign. It's time that we have family devotions. Listen to me just for a minute. It's time that we have family devotions. It's time, if we realize that one another is doing something they shouldn't be doing at home, that we just call each other out and say, listen, we're going to pray over this right now. A lot of times we're going to say, well, we're just going to wait till we can bring this up to the counselor. Let me tell you, you have the Prince of Peace. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Counselor of all counselors, the Great Physician. Anybody know any doctors that can heal cancer? Know a lot of them that have helped cause it. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to do that. Sometimes that's other people's fault because they don't go to the doctor in advance. And I'm not putting a plug in for doctors that you all need to go right now. But there is things called preventative maintenance that we do on our vehicles. You can do the same thing on your bodies, you know that? Same thing on your spiritual body. It's coming and allowing God to come and fill our hearts and in our lives. If you would stand with me. I want you to realize, in Acts chapter 5, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Why did many things transpire there? It's because, Brother Jason, they were all there and they were all filled. I find also that there are places where Christ, there in Matthew chapter 12, he was in the tabernacle and they all wanted to stone him. They wanted to get rid of him because he was healing people in the church. And that he went outside and he told the great multitude that wanted to follow him. He said, Christ, where are you going? He said, won't you just follow me out here? And the Bible says in that section of verse, in chapter there, it says that he healed all of them. And then he charged them, shh, don't tell nobody, but you got to go show yourself to the priest to prove that you're clean. But shh, don't tell nobody. What did they do? It was noised abroad. Christ, the Son of David. That's what they made the statement. Some of the people said, this has got to be the Son of David, the Messiah, the promised one. Let me tell you, if you go out into this world and you begin to declare that there's no room for this world because I've got Christ, you will see lives change. There might be some people that fall away from you, but that's okay, because let me tell you, your reward will be great because you have him. Hallelujah. As Sister Pepper plays and sings tonight, I want you to come up around these altars. I want you to search your hearts. Make sure there's room for him. And then turn on the light. Let the devil know there is no vacancy here. There's no place for you. I'm not going to give you an opportunity to sink your claws in. I'm not going to give you a chance to take hold of what I've been freed from ever again.